The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a, what day is this? Oh, Wednesday and January 2nd. Gary, Happy New Year.
I went through that all last week. I could never figure out what day it was. And same thing. I keep thinking it's Sunday night.
Yeah. I know all day. Where's the football? Why is it all college football?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Hey, we're back.
We are.
And it's the longest that we're off all year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was good. I'm glad to be back.
I am too. I'm glad to be back on my schedule. I really can't. I'm sorry, but I cannot ever. I don't think I'd ever go back to actually being a full-time daytime, or as I call it, daywalker person. I don't think I could do that. There are too many idiots in the world. There's traffic. There's all the stuff that I had to deal with. And I'm like, how do you people get anything done during the day? I don't want that.
Somebody was asking me, they said, how do you prepare? How do you prepare when you're off for so long? When you have to go back, how do you prepare? And I said, I don't even worry about that.
No.
All I worry about is where to get my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I never worry about, well, will I be prepared? Will I have enough material? I can't miss anything. I normally go through that every day, but when I'm off for this length of time, that's the last thing I think about. Because the only thing that matters is, can I get back into the sleep pattern again?
Right.
Because if you can't do that, it doesn't matter whether you're prepared. You'll be on the air.
I essentially, and I was telling you during the pre-show meeting, I really didn't do much at all during the day on Tuesday. I got up for a little while, but I almost slept on and off around the clock because I knew, you know, we're going back to work. But there was, I was almost this giddiness. I almost sent you a text on Monday. Can we go back tonight? Because I was ready to get back to my schedule. I was ready to get back to what I've been doing for 22 years now, and that's working nights and sleeping days. And I don't mind, like, when I'm running errands during the day, during the week, our normal week. You know, you have to do that because that's when things are open. Mm-hmm. But when you've got, like, a schedule of things, of course, around, you know, Christmas and during the end of the year, I'm organizing, I'm getting everything, trying to get a bunch of things done, and there's all these people in my way. If I'm running an errand or two during the week, during a normal week, no big deal. Oh, traffic, no big deal. In no hurry. But when you've got a schedule, you know, it just becomes, well, irritating. Completely irritating. And I was like, I could never do this. I'd be too frustrated.
Yeah. I was thinking Monday the same thing. It was like, okay, we're to Monday. Okay, we don't go back to work till Wednesday. All right, I guess that's what we have to do. And then the last two nights for me was going to sleep really early.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I want to do is get up, as I did yesterday. I was up at 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole goal is just to stay up all day so I'm very tired by the time it rolls around to 5 or 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens last night?
Wide awake.
No. Completely exhausted at 4 o'clock.
No.
Completely exhausted at 5 o'clock. But I'm like, if I go to sleep, I'm going to fall asleep for an hour and wake up.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I go to sleep at 5. I mean, deep sleep.
Right.
I wake up quarter after 6.
Right.
Stay up till like quarter after 8 and then fall asleep for another 45 minutes. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then everything will be back to normal because I'll get, by the time I get home, I'll be tired. And I sleep twice a day for people that don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep like 6 to 10. So I'll be able to sleep tomorrow morning and then I'll be right back into the sleep shift again. Because once I do that, once I get the two in, then I'm back again. But yeah, just like you. Ran a ton of different errands.
Mm-hmm.
Did see, my brother will say, technically it wasn't a white Christmas. He was on to that all the time. Well, mm-hmm. No, we're getting a dusting here. It's a white Christmas. No, you need an inch. It's got to be officially an inch from the Weather Service. Otherwise, they don't consider it a white Christmas.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, okay. I didn't want to know that and didn't care. It's like,
yeah.
There's snow on the ground.
Probably, especially, that they probably call that the Buffalo Rule at the National Weather Service.
It might be.
Yeah.
It's not technically a white Christmas unless you get a full inch.
Right.
Look, I walk out, my windshield's covered.
Yeah.
Good enough, right? I didn't see half the grass.
Yeah.
Three quarters of the grass I didn't see.
Right.
I saw white. You looked in the woods, you saw white in the wood. That's
right.
I don't care. That's a white Christmas. And then it went away.
Right.
It's like, okay, I'm happy.
Yeah, I went out to West Texas a couple of weeks ago, and same thing. Dusting. No problems with the roads at all because they were still warm. Dusting. Right. That's all I needed. I'm good.
It's all
Let's get back to summer.
Now I did one thing on Christmas Eve. I went to the local mall.
Mm. Uh-oh.
I was driving around because it started snowing on Christmas Eve about 1 o'clock. Well, it was actually snowing all day, very, very light snow.
Right.
Then it started snowing a little bit heavier, and I went, okay, this is great. There's a nice dusting. I rented a, you know, all-wheel drive vehicle, so no worries whatsoever. So I said, look, I'm going to jump in the vehicle and just drive around a little bit. And I went by the mall where, when I grew up, we used to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be mobbed on Christmas Eve. I'm going by it. I may want to just walk in and see what it's like. I get in the parking lot, empty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The two major anchors have moved out.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
And so I walk into this mall, and you've got the little stores are still in there.
Mm.
But there's nobody in the store, or nobody in this mall. It's a huge mall. I mean, there's 10 people that I pass. I walk from one end to the other. I go by Santa. Santa is there.
Mm.
You know, there's Santa, the big chair,
right.
The elves there.
Yeah.
Not one person in line. Not one.
Mm.
I remember that when we'd walk in that mall as a kid.
Yeah.
And it would be mobbed. You'd have to wait an hour, you know, to get to visit Santa. And I'm just realizing, it's just, wow, things have changed. Now, they planned, because they've lost the two big anchors, to do what they're doing with all malls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, you know, make it multi-use.
Let the lions take over, you know, like after humans. Yeah.
No, make it, you know, mixed use where they apartments, they do a whole bunch of things. They redo all these malls and make them into something, you know, completely different. Because it's still valuable real estate. Where it's located in the suburbs is extremely valuable.
Yeah, my wife and my daughter separately were doing some shopping on Christmas Eve, and the two malls they went to, it takes an hour to park.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, same with the mall near me.
But then you go two blocks away, and there's an older mall, and it's all but gone right now. I mean, it's back near our old studios. And so...
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, so the Dallas Galleria was, you know, hopping, according to my wife and my daughter. It was hopping at another one not far from there. But there's one two blocks from the Galleria that's an old mall that's all but shut down now. I mean, in fact, they're going to redevelop that area for that whole building's going to be gone soon. And there's another mall here that they've turned into some kind of music venue thing. There was, you know what I saw? There's a building, an office building, and they're advertising for musicians and bands to have practice rehearsal studios in there.
Wow.
I mean, back when I was, you know, a kid doing that, we would find, we had a friend whose, you know, father owned a warehouse, and, you know, we would go to, you know, or you'd rent an old, really old building in an old warehouse district, you know, kind of like our studios are. And so, so it wasn't like a high rise. This is a high rise in the middle of North Dallas. On a major, major interstate and or freeway, rather. And they're advertising, you know, if your band needs a rehearsal place, call this number. I'm like, well, first of all, how many bands, what kind of market research went into that? How many bands are there? And I really don't know. I don't know what the live scene is, you know, in terms of what type of music's being played and, you know, what the demand for that kind of space would be. But I thought that was kind of weird, because years ago it used to be a bank building. And, you know, it just makes you wonder of especially with malls, all right, what's going to happen? You know, in Asia right now, the malls are booming because they didn't go through that phase in the 70s and 80s putting everything under, you know, one roof.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've developed that. And, of course, the consumer there has there's a growing, I guess we should say, middle class in terms of buying power.
And, you know, when because we hear, well, that's because brick and mortar is going away. Some brick and mortar is going away. But right. I would love to actually look to take a count as to the number of businesses and brick and mortar that are around today compared to 40 years ago, 50
right.
years ago.
Right.
Because I bet you that if you actually took the actual number of brick and mortars that exist today, the number, it's much greater than it was back then.
Yeah, probably.
It's just different.
Right, right. Sure. And you have to offer something, and there's you know, again, there's a lot of items that still won't be e-commerce friendly. You know, again, people want to, especially with clothes and things like that, people want to be able to try on clothes. And so what is the e-commerce industry doing now? Okay, you can try it for 7 days or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
You don't pay
right.
for 30
right.
days or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and then you can send it back. But, you know, the shipping can be a hassle. The return shipping mm-hmm. can be a hassle. So then you get into the things like groceries and perishable items and everything else that it's going to be really difficult to, you know, deliver that. I want to, if I'm buying whatever it is, meat or vegetables or whatever it is, I want to look at it myself.
Well, the reason I say that is just because I'm in a relatively new development and mm-hmm. the number of brick and mortar going up around me, not in the mall like style. I mean, maybe strip mall kind of style, mm-hmm. small strip malls, but I'm amazed by the number that are out there. Now I'll say this, a lot of them are fast food because mm-hmm. we don't cook at home like we used to anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton more fast food. If you look at just fast food alone and compared fast food to 50 years ago, McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what else did you really have?
Right.
You didn't, and so you have them on every street corner, and there's every type of food known to mankind now that is in the fast food genre of storefronts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
and we want to go in and go out. We don't want even like with a mall, it becomes a hassle with parking. You go in and
yeah, you don't want that.
So,
right.
You know, you want to go in. You park up front, you go in, you come back out. It's that convenience thing. We're buying time is what we're doing.
And I've got to tell you this, though. It's faster to walk into most fast food outlets, including most places that serve coffee, than to sit in line and wait for it.
It can be. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. I didn't like standing in line because I rarely have to do that. When I do grocery shopping, I order a lot of stuff online, like, you know, paper products or whatever, non-perishable items I order online, right?
Yes.
Going and getting my grocery shopping done because I cook. On Christmas Day, and standing in line. Oh my gosh! How do you people get anything done? Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, even if I go grocery shopping, I do it at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I go through the self checkout, and because that's usually the only thing open, and I'm in and I'm out, and I don't. The point is, I don't have to wait. It may take me a while, but I'm not standing in line for any of that time.
We got a great show. Happy New Year. Where's the left headed right now as we head into 2019? Where are the Democrats headed? Where are the Republicans headed? Here we go. We predicted this. The first GOP congressman brings up the national debt.
There we go.
You and I said it would happen.
Yep, they didn't wait.
Well, wait. We won't bring it up when we're in the majority. But as soon as we get in the minority, let's bring it up.
That's right.
Elizabeth Warren, she's officially in.
Uh-huh.
I love the Elizabeth Warren campaign sticker that I saw, the poster. 1/2020.
Yeah, exactly.
Kanye West is back.
Woo-hoo.
Men who ask out smaller women could be violating Title IX of the law.
Okay.
Democrats will release a plan by tomorrow to fund the government without a wall, the Steele dossier and its conclusions, plus just everything. Because so much happened when we were gone. We'll try to catch up on all of that. We'll talk about Mr. Vape.
Mm-hmm.
The vaping store clerk.
Yeah, right.
The transgender in the other store.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is what we're dealing with now. If you want a microcosm of what the world has become, that's it.
Right. It's acting out. It's that
it
kind of it
we're
is that
it.
Kind of in some cases violent behavior, but it's certainly extreme anger by the left.
And we'll tell you why. 866-90 Red Eye.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90 Red Eye on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, because of the whole sleep shift thing and trying to get back into it, of course, New Year's Eve, I was asleep by 9:30. I was out completely because my whole goal was to wake up very early in the morning so I could stay awake all day, then go to sleep before I came in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it means every year I miss all the fun stuff that happens, you know, whether it's CNN or NBC's coverage of New Year's Eve. Not big on New Year's anymore. It's funny because New Year's Eve used to be, and New Year's used to be, one of the most emotional and depressing times that I had as a kid.
Right.
And it's because after Christmas, I knew that the day after New Year's, we went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And New Year's Eve, they would talk about all the people that died. I remember when I was a kid, I remember that. They go through everything, the year, and the year in view, all the tragedies, all the people that died.
Right,
and then with
right.
Guy Lombardo's Auld Lang Syne, you know, to me that was a depressing song. And then they'd start talking about, oh, the year is gone, 1960-something back when at that point.
Right.
And I used to get depressed. Oh, the old year is gone, the new year is coming, I got to go to school again. And so now it's like New Year's, I'm like, eh, whatever. Man's way of regulating time, no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it means for me, I get a little bit more time with my wife and or family.
Exactly.
We didn't get a lot of time with our grown kids on New Year's, but we got a lot of time at Christmas and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't really, you know, as a kid, I never really, it's not arbitrary, but it seemed arbitrary, if you know what I mean. It seemed like, because I was always thinking, okay, what's supposed to change? Do the countdown. I'm waiting for it. What is it? Come on, Dick Clark. Give it to me. What is it? What are we doing here? And then it would be, it's a new day. Okay, you mean like the last day we started 24 hours ago?
Yeah.
For me, it wasn't, it really,
right.
It wasn't that that big of a deal. It was just, okay, let's move on with it. Except for the fact that as a kid, at least here in Texas, we did fireworks on the first. We did fireworks on Christmas Eve.
Oh,
on New Year's Eve.
They did wake me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the fireworks did wake me up for a couple,
you know,
of groggy.
In the city, you can't do that. But growing up in these rural areas, you could easily go find a place and do fireworks. So we didn't do that this year.
So
but we did hear it, yeah.
As I've always said, I love Times Square. Mm-hmm. I love watching that on when it was as a kid, and I haven't watched it in ages, but I loved watching that. I would hate to be in it.
Right, yeah.
Because you and I talked about this before we went on vacation.
Yeah.
That the one thing we'd be thinking of is, how do we get home? Oh, no, we're in this crowd. And,
yeah.
And it's like, I love the people that are willing to do that because it makes a great scene.
It's great.
I don't have no interest in doing it
right.
Myself at all, but it means that we missed, like, you know, Anderson Cooper, you know, getting drunk on the airs.
I was awake during that time, but I just go out of my way to do other things. I've always, for us, it's always been, the tradition has always been like find a movie or something else. I mean, we went out to dinner, but we were home long before
midnight.
Just from
a profession point of view, who gets drunk?
On the air.
When you're on the air.
Right. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
An Arctic cold front has caused temperatures to plummet across parts of the Central Plains, dropping wind chills to hazardous levels from Montana through Nebraska. Today, we'll see yet another round of significant snowfall for parts of Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico, as much as 6 to 12 inches in the mountains. Rain likely tonight in the western Gulf states, along with scattered thunderstorms. There will be some snow, sleet, or freezing rain from the southern plains to the Ozarks. Snow, sleet, or freezing rain may develop in northern and central parts of Texas and Oklahoma. By tonight, the area of snow or ice may stretch from northwest Texas and the Texas Panhandle into parts of Oklahoma, northwest Arkansas, and southwest Missouri. We could see hazardous travel conditions, including Interstate 35 from far northern Texas through Oklahoma and Interstate 44 from Oklahoma to southwest Missouri. And there's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Thanks so much, Christopher. 866-90-RED-EYE.
For those not on Ambien, there's Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yeah, so I was, you know, when I read and I saw some of the video of Anderson Cooper and doing the shot and all that, and as media outlets reporting, getting drunk on the coverage on CNN. And you have to ask yourself, I mean, who does it? I'm just talking about as a professional, unless you're doing what the radio stations used to do when they bring the state troopers in and then they get you drunk around the holidays to see how quickly your reactions, you know, slow down. That I can see doing, but people don't even do that anymore. I haven't seen that in probably, 20 years?
Right.
Somebody do something like that. They used to be big in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. But who gets drunk? What professional news person gets drunk on the air?
Right. Right.
And what kind of company allows you to get drunk on the air?
I don't know. Does ours?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think.
By the way, I'm drinking coffee, far as anybody knows.
When you and I both worked for our flagship station, we were in there during the day, all right? And one of the things was you knew no alcohol was allowed in, you know, at the office.
Right.
And I would walk in, especially around Christmas time, and clients would have left. You know, they brought in, these are clients. They brought in wine. You walk into the studio and there's be all this alcohol in the studio that you didn't put in there,
right,
but it's for you.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute, all this alcohol's in here. It's against the, you're like, could they get me for this? Because all you cared about was, hey, my job and fulfilling my contractual requirements here. And if there's alcohol in the studio, we could get in trouble. And you'd never got in trouble for it because it was just gifts from the client as long as you didn't open it up and start drinking it there.
Somebody at one point like got a six-pack of beer, and I'm guessing it was for their way home or something. I don't know. I don't know why they couldn't go to the store later. But anyway, they brought it into the station and put it in the refrigerator. And I never found out who it was, but they put it in there. And then like a day or two later, one was gone. And I was like, either they're slowly taking them home or somebody could get in trouble. No, I don't, I don't know what, here's the difference. For, you know, the liberals, especially at CNN, they think, well, you know, we've got to be cool. We've got to be hip. Last year it was Don Lemon, right?
Yes.
This year it's Anderson Cooper. They don't, it's really not about anything else, just trying to be cool, trying to be hip, trying to connect to an audience. And you know what? I have no idea if it connects. I have no idea where the research is on that. Because we talk about, like, Good Morning America showing cat videos. You know, sitting, you're paying eight high-profile anchors and hosts and reporters, and they, at some point, are going to get up together, everybody right there on the set is going to start talking about the viral video of the week or whatever it is. And I thought to myself, well, that's ridiculous. Oh, wait a minute. It might not be if that's what people are watching.
Yes, for, exactly.
So, exactly. So I don't know. I have no idea if people do that, if they tune in for that, if they enjoy that. That could be the case. But I've never felt that it was that you ever had to prove anything, that if you were the person, I guess, picked for that particular segment or show, that it was already proven that you were the one people wanted to watch. You didn't have to do anything to do that. It wasn't like people said, hey, go get Anderson because he's going to get drunk, or Don Lemon because he's going to. I would look at it as, no, the people are looking for me to do what I do every night, even though I'm not going to be doing hard news. It's going to be this kind of celebration. I'm going to be the same person I am, because that's who I am.
Right. It just amazes me that the company allows them to do that, but apparently they do, because it's happened before.
Right.
And nobody gets punished, and it's fine. They can run their company as they wish to run it. I just find it strange that they do that, because it would be the last thing that I'd be thinking of if somebody said, hey, will you do our New Year's broadcast for us? The last thing Well, only if I can get drunk. Can I get stoned too?
Yeah.
Well then, forget about it.
Well, didn't New York legalize it? Is it legal in New York?
Not yet. No.
It's not.
No,
okay.
No.
So.
But they were talking about it when I was there.
That's. Yeah. Because I know in a lot of the states it became legal, well, today or yesterday.
By the way, the LA Times had a story, and they, I don't know if they did it before, but they had a story over the weekend about the fact that there's so many regulations, high taxes. They thought there were going to be all these small businesses growing pot, and people are like, and there have been a few stories before this story was written,
right?
And we talked about it. Only California, maybe New York can do it, but only California could legalize pot and make it so hard that people decide, sorry, we're not going to get in the business. But what they expected, what everybody was expecting, the number of people that would be growing pot and making money doing it and doing it legally is way short of what they thought it was. And why? Regulations and high taxes.
Well, because you have to, first of all, you're going to have to have the acreage. You're going to have that kind of investment isn't something you can do on a small basis in order to supply that kind of demand. Right.
And the other thing was, too, the number of cities that are saying, opting out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
an
interesting point. When you get into these states, it's like, okay, we're going to legalize it. And all of a sudden, all these cities say, not in our town.
Well, people who weren't from Colorado didn't know that there are plenty of towns that said no. Absolutely not. It's just like, you know, alcohol is legal in all states, but it's not legal for sale in every city. Hard liquor.
Right. I can't buy vodka in my town.
Yeah, I can't either. We just got beer and wine about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Ours is, I think, about 12, 13, 14 years ago.
So a lot of the towns can decide what kind of business they want in their town. And, you know, if they're going to allow, you know, any kind of retailer on that level.
Which, to me, is really interesting if I'm a sociologist. Because if you look at it, you know, it's sweeping across America. Legalize pot.
Right.
Legalize pot.
Right.
The country should legalize pot. The state should legalize pot. All of a sudden you get to these cities. No way.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden you get, all right, you can legalize it as long as you don't sell it next door to me.
Right. NIMBY. Not in my backyard. And that's, and they're okay with that. And that's been the case for a long time. I don't know, because the argument is, hey, it's a legal product. It's not like people in your town aren't partaking, whether it's pot or alcohol.
Right.
The people who want to, anyway, can legally do so. They just can't buy it there. And so they're having to go to neighboring towns, and those neighboring towns get the benefit of the sales tax and everything else, and those arguments are there. But I still respect the idea of locals saying, if they feel like it, I mean, if that's their choice, no, we don't want those sales in our town. And we don't want that kind of activity or whatever in our town in terms of retail. That, to me, is something that, again, the debate has been going on for a long, long time. I'm a capitalist. But I can also decide, well, great. If that's the kind of capitalism, if that's the kind of retail establishment I want to have, I'll move. And this town will suffer if they're not going to get the tax from that sale.
Now, I got an idea. Let's approach our agent and ask him in our new contract if, since CNN, and he can approach management, and he can go to them and say, look, CNN allows it.
Right.
So can these guys drink on the air? It's an overnight show.
Yeah.
You need to loosen the reins on them a little bit. Just, you know.
Right.
And it look, just beer and wine.
Well. Here's my thing. Because what is it? Well, it's a special occasion. It's New Year's. Well, hold on. New Year's Eve isn't the only special occasion.
Lots of special occasions.
It could be, well, I had a good day. Special occasion. It's my birthday. Was your birthday last month? Yep. Down the hatch. How many different special occasions could you have?
Speaking of birthdays, it's my cat's birthday, unofficial birthday tomorrow.
Oh, good. Well, happy birthday to your cat.
We can drink.
Exactly. Or you can drink for him, since he can't drink.
Since he won't drink.
He has no opposable thumbs, and it might be harmful. You'll do the drinking for him. See, you can make a special occasion out of anything. You know, look, it's the first Saturday of, it's the first weekend of January. Yay! It's the first Wednesday of January.
Hey, if I can be whatever gender I want, then I can celebrate whatever I want.
Right, exactly. You know, and so, yeah, you could. That's what I thought about, because a lot of the people, well, it's not a big deal, because I saw that over social media. Not a big deal. It's New Year's Eve. That's what you expect. Not really.
No, I'm asleep by 9. I don't celebrate New Year's Eve. I want to celebrate when I wish to celebrate.
Well, exactly. So I call it Wednesday. Special occasion. First day of work in the new year. Woohoo! Crack open the champagne. You can make a special occasion up as you go along, can't you? I mean, anything could be a special occasion.
I did tell somebody that someday, I don't even know if I've ever done it in my life, but I was telling them, I said, you know, one day I'd like to have a mimosa at 7 o'clock in the morning or when I wake up at 8 or 9 o'clock. Just on, not because I want to drink in the morning, but I just there's an image to me that if you have a mimosa in the morning, you truly are on vacation.
Yeah.
There's a kind of imagery attached to
it. I've had one. Well, I shouldn't say I've had one. I started one morning and then realized I'm not a big orange juice fan or champagne fan.
Okay.
And combined, I didn't like the taste at all. I was like, no, not really. I'll take some coffee. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also supposed to be, I don't know, to make it a little classier.
I've seen people order it on the plane, you know, at times.
Yeah. No, I see that. I see that.
You know, at 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, I have a mimosa.
Yeah.
Wow. 5 o'clock, really?
Yeah.
Well, I've been on a 5 o'clock flight one time. Somebody ordered mimosas.
Yeah. Like, wow. If I had a mimosa, I'd have to have a nap right after that, about a 5-hour nap.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Okay, where we are in 2019, what is the actual mood of the country? And this goes from everything that we saw when we were on vacation, from whether it was NBC jumping on the story, because we learned a lot about the media. There were some perfect examples of the media and why a significant portion of the public hates the media. And one of them was NBC, as we know, jumping on the story about Trump not visiting the troops and then CNN going after the troops, claiming that they broke the law until the Air Force came out and said, no, they didn't break the law. And then they go on to the next thing.
Right.
It was NBC and their emphasis, let's jump on this. Let's be the first on this to criticize Trump on the troops.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit.
And their horrible attempt at a correction, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of the piece that really got the thing started with Jim Acosta and the president, the BuzzFeed piece. Remember, it was fake. And they said, well, even on the BuzzFeed, when they went to post it, they put the disclaimer at the top. Look, a lot of this can't be verified, but we're going with it anyway. And NBC comes back with essentially, yeah, we got it wrong, but we're going to post it and rephrase it. I don't know how many times this has happened. And it's blatant. If they see viewers and subscribers go away, it's a result of this kind of idiotic, childish behavior.
And then we'll get, right to, the whole Mitt Romney criticizing the op-ed piece, criticizing the president. What world does he live in?
I don't know. He did the opposite of Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz bashed the president, of course, they were running against each other in 2016, and then asked the president for help, which he got. Mitt Romney asked the president for help, which he got, and then bashed the president. So something tells me Mitt Romney doesn't worry about what's going to happen in 6 years.
Well, Mitt Romney is wrong because it's the flight crap. It's the McCain crap that, we're more divisive than ever. We're divided than ever because of Trump.
Right.
That isn't true. That's flat out false.
Well, take the media out of it and tell us what you actually really have. Not that the president hasn't made some mistakes in communication, but in terms of what the world thinks of us, where is this fantasy that they loved us before Trump.
Well, forget about the world. The country he's talking about. Mm-hmm. That we're more divided as a country.
Well, but he spoke about allies right. and everything
but,
else
but
and how we have to lead.
Right.
And
that's not true. Mm-hmm. We aren't divided in internally more than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply the fact that Trump's fighting back, and so they're getting angry about it.
Right.
Now, we have said Trump at times fights the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But it's the fact that there has never been a fight. If Romney would have had the aggression against a member of his own party who supported him and he took his support, if he would have had the same philosophy against his opposition candidate, Barack Obama, he might be president today.
Right. Right. Where was that Mitt Romney in 2012? Well, like I said to you during the pre-show meeting, Mitt Romney wrote a piece in the Washington Post as to why he didn't win in 2012.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Happy New Year. Here we go. Into 2019, and I bet you it's going to be a pretty decent year for talk radio.
Yeah. I keep putting 2018 on my electronic payments.
I don't make that mistake anymore. I used to, but I don't make that. I don't know why, but
yeah,
I just
Yeah, no, it was a joke, and that
yes,
you
exactly.
can't actually
you can't
make it.
Right.
And so I... There's, well, the old joke goes away now.
Yeah, it does.
Because with the electronic payments. See, you kids and your newfangled electronic payments, we lost a whole joke.
When we were young, we used to have to write checks.
Yeah.
I still have to write a couple checks every month.
Yes. I'm still writing 1994 on my music. Thank you, Counting Crows.
All right. Looking at where we're going. Looking at where
crap.
Looking at where we've been and where we're going.
Right.
And I want to, you know, looking at the Democrats and looking at the Republicans. And I want to start off by playing something. I'd read his op-ed piece and then I saw that he was on Fox News. So I have some of the audio of it. And his constitutional law professor, Jonathan Turley, who's not a Trump fan. Grew up as a Democrat, and talks about where the Democrats are right now and makes a couple of really interesting points as to where the Democrats are now.
Well, you know, I grew up in a staunchly Democratic family in Chicago, and the Democratic Party used to represent something. But what we've seen in the last 2 years is that they've become the inverse image of Donald Trump, that this obsession is really worthy of Melville. It's this all-consuming effort, which is beginning to erode what defines the Democrats. And what happens when Donald Trump leaves office? What is left of your party? If you take a look at the last year, it's really mystifying. You know, when we were dealing with the FBI material that the Congress was seeking to release to the public, the FBI redacted a huge amount of that material. Many of us said, look, this is part of a pattern with the FBI. They often overclassify. It is often to protect themselves from embarrassment, not national security. And yet the Democrats said, no, you just have to accept what the FBI is saying about classification. Well, when those redactions were lifted, we found out they weren't really classified. They were shielding embarrassing things about FBI officials. When Donald Trump said, I want to get out of Syria and Afghanistan, the Democrats, who have long opposed endless or undeclared wars, said, oh, my God, this is hasty. How could you do this? We have to fight terrorism.
Right.
You know, all of these things lead you to wonder what is left of the Democratic Party.
And you and I have also talked about the fact of, you know, with Trump, with trade, if you think about it, Trump with trade sounds more like a Democrat from 20 years ago than a Republican. Yet Democrats completely, you know, reject what he is saying. Now, there's been plenty of criticism of Trump, you know, for example, in Syria from conservatives. I think conservatives have been much more consistent. But you and I talked about, where do the Democrats stand? It used to be the Democrats, and we've talked about this, even though you and I have always been on the side of much more transparency, and we've always been concerned about when, you know, about, for example, secret warrants and if secret warrants are used in the wrong way, because of the fact that that is the one exception to the Constitution, which is the secret warrants, which the secret warrants are used, are supposed to be used, because you're going after international terrorists.
Right.
And that's why it exists, and that's why it was under a different classification than normal criminal justice, where you have to get a regular warrant. And as we have said, even as recently as a couple of years ago, it was Democrats that were leading the charge when it came to the NSA and the metadata, collecting the metadata of cell phones. You and I have still asked the question today, where were the Republicans on it? The Republicans also knew it was happening and said nothing. Right. But it was two Democrats, a Wyden and Udall, that, you know, were extremely concerned and believed that what was going on under the Obama administration was unconstitutional, collecting the metadata of all the cell phones across the United States, as we did too. And we disagreed. I remember because it was our first year doing Red Eye Radio. And I would say that from our audience, we got more calls defending the Obama administration and stating that it was not unconstitutional because the goal was to catch terrorists. And we said, no, you still can't do that. You can't say we catch terrorists and therefore we get to get into everybody's, you know, information.
Right.
But you and I will never forget that, going, wow, what happened?
Right.
You know, what happened here where it came to, you know, people's rights. And so when you look at that, when you look at a lot of the trade things that he brings up, you and I have asked, what do the Democrats actually stand for? Besides abortion, what do they stand for? As you and I talked about in our pre-show meeting, it was just recently as 3-4 years ago where the majority of Democrats had the exact same opinion on illegal immigration as Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back over the last 20 years, they all had the same opinion.
Right.
And now that's completely and totally disappeared. Why? Have they changed on that, or have they changed because of Trump?
Well, and that's it. I mean, you look at the Republicans and fiscal matters and talking about the national debt, and as you predicted now, they've already started screaming about the national debt and what's going to happen. Well, where were you over the last two years about that kind of spending?
Getting to the Republicans in a moment.
Right. But the
Democrats point, first, Republicans second.
Sure. Well, but you look at each of the parties positioning for what? What is it that they're trying to get done? The Republicans had power for 2 years, didn't accomplish a number of things that they could have gotten done. And they're going to complain about the Democrats not allowing the president to get it done. But we've been asking, I don't know, for how many years? It goes back before the 2016 election. What do the Democrats stand for? What is it that they... Okay, imagine that they got the Senate and the White House in 2020, and then what? To do what? What is it that they're going to change? What is it they're going to promote? Now, the Republicans were all over the place, but the thing was is that if you talk to any one of them, they did have an issue. There was something they wanted to promote. There was some kind of policy they wanted to create. And it was beyond the free college, we'll pay you to have a baby thing. Because right now, that's basically what the Democrats have left. Free, 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 free. Life is too hard. Let us do it for you.
You're a victim.
Yes. So the one thing we can say, in fact, kind of technically two things. Supreme Court, because two seats in the last 2 years, that's not a small deal. Well, two seats in the last year, that's not a small deal. That's not a small thing. But they had an opportunity to get things done on health care. And I think the messaging was wrong. It's not just about what you want to get done. It's how you get out and you sell it. And the Republicans could have come back in 2016 and said in 2017, look, We wanted to fully dismantle health care, completely, Obamacare be gone, but the American people aren't there anymore. That's not where the American people are right now. So what we need to do is find something that will work. They didn't get to it. By the way, who knows if they'll ever get to it. But the point is if you got 5 or 10 of them, if you separated them into small groups on the Republican side, they could look toward, they could each of them spell out the type of policy of what they wanted to get done. Now, they couldn't do what we thought the president wasn't going to be able to do, and they got it done, and that's the corporate tax rate. Mm-hmm. But the Republicans wouldn't have gotten that done without this particular president.
Without Trump. Well, you still have, there's still a certain core in the Republican Party mm-hmm. that exists under Trump. Mm-hmm. And one of those are, if you break down, because we broke down a little bit of the Democrats to break down the Republicans right now, tax cuts are still there.
Mm-hmm.
They have completely abandoned any type of fiscal sanity when it comes to debt, though.
Right.
That may be coming back as the first Republican representative came out and talked about the fact that Trump's wall, we should build it, but we shouldn't go into debt to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, wow. So now Trump is responsible for the debt because of the wall?
Right.
But the fact is, it was the first time that it was mentioned, and you and I said, okay, now Republicans in the House are going to come out against the debt because they don't have power, but when they had power, debt didn't seem to matter at all.
Well, and then so you look at both sides. And if they didn't care about the debt on the Republican side, it's because the Republican rank and file quit caring about the debt. Now, we're not talking to our audience. Our audience, the conservatives of America, still care about the national debt and believe it's a huge risk and threat to our country. We know that. But the reason that they didn't get health care done is because people didn't want the free stuff to go away. The reason they didn't tackle fiscal issues is because the rank and file Republican had moved away from caring about that. The question for the Democrats is, this is what we ask the Democrats, not the people on Capitol Hill, not the senators or representatives. It's what do you want from them, and that's where it all comes from.
And that would be the difference. I'm glad you brought that up, because that when you look at both the Democrats and Republicans and where they're going, you can make the case that Republicans are going where the people that support them go. I ask this to any loyal Democrat out there. Do you believe in sanctuary cities?
Right.
Do you believe that do you believe in open borders? Because if you believe in sanctuary cities, you believe in open borders. Mm-hmm. By the way, the president sort of got there in his tweets, but it wasn't a consistent message. But if you tied together and sort of connected the dots, mm-hmm. he sort of hit that. Right. But again, it wasn't a consistent, solid message on all media. It was just Twitter. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if the president wishes to accomplish anything, he's got to realize Twitter is not the only way to do it. You and I talked about this. If he truly wanted to build the wall and get to the $5 billion, and by the way, the New York Times said he's already agreed to $2.5 billion, and he didn't debate that, by the way, on Twitter over the last week when that came out, that he's down to $2.5, that he's willing to concede on that because, you know, that's where they're going right now. But if he truly wanted it, as soon as they went on break and as soon as Nancy Pelosi went to Hawaii, he should have called a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
He should have called I'm going to speak to the American people on illegal immigration. I don't care whether it's the holiday. If that's when it happens, you do it. And every day you hold a press conference and you accuse Nancy Pelosi's in Hawaii. I'm here. They believe in open borders. They believe in sanctuary cities. And if you believe in sanctuary cities and you have a consistent message and you do 10 press conferences and speeches to the American public, because this is that important to you, it was a key thing of what you wanted. You just don't stick on Twitter every day and think that the entire world's going to see it.
Right.
You go out and you're aggressive, and the president has not been aggressive on it. I don't expect that he's going to do anything the rest of his term except tweet on things and believe that everybody's reading his tweets, and they're not.
Well, and that's a good point, is that most Americans don't live their lives on Twitter.
No, they don't.
And so where do you learn about what the president is tweeting? Well, only from the negative side that the left wants to spin it. The left media covers everything that he tweets and will twist it into, and maybe even cover part of it or take it out of context or make it up as they go along, which they've been doing. And in the whole thing with the signing the hats for the troops thing. I mean, there's if you're going to get in the face of the American people, you're going to have to do it on camera every day. And if you hold a press conference, they'll be there.
And that's the entire point. If you're trying to sell something, you don't sell it on just Twitter anymore.
Right.
You go on television. You get FaceTime. You market the daylights out of it, and you go after them, and you – it's not – again, I've always thought that the narrative is wrong. The context is wrong. It's not wall versus wall. It's open borders versus the belief that we should have border security in general.
Right. Yeah.
But they want open borders. But he let them get away with it when he was sitting there with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Oh, we're all for border security. No, they're not. Why did you say that?
Don't give them an out.
You've got to have a consistent message, and it's got to be promoted to the maximum, and the president did not do that over the last couple of weeks. But it is something that the Republican Party has stood for when it comes to border security.
Right.
They have been the party of it. The Democrats have become the party of open borders. Is that where their rank and file are? If you're the average Democrat, do you believe in sanctuary cities? The polls show you don't.
Right.
Why are you supporting your party if that's their belief? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on top issues facing commercial drivers. We are 1 year in from the ELD compliance date, yet it remains a top issue for drivers. The American Transportation Research Institute lists it as the number three concern among drivers. Hopefully, drivers are, by now, comfortable with ELDs, but it's important to have the following items on hand in case of a malfunction or you are stopped by a law enforcement official. A user manual. An instruction sheet that explains how to transfer hours of service info to law enforcement officials. An instruction sheet describing ELD record-keeping malfunctions. And 8 days worth of blank driver's records of duty status forms. While your ELD experience might be smooth so far, technology sometimes has other ideas. Make sure these items are in your truck before you hit the road for every trip. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
So, get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, yeah, so when you look at, as we just did, both the Democrat Party and the Republican Party right now, and as to where they're headed, really for the Democrats, it's just everything is free.
Right.
That's what it is. Everything is free and open borders. Because if you believe in sanctuary cities, remember, California is a sanctuary state.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the police chief of that one small town where the police officer got killed and how angry he was at the sanctuary city policies that exist
right.
in the state of California, where illegal immigrant criminals and their freedom are more important to the state of California than innocent men, women, and children who are American citizens and their safety and security. That's where they are. So it's open borders and all free stuff for everybody.
Well, and one thing I think that has to be in the messaging, too, is that not just saying that they're for open borders, but pointing out what you just mentioned before the break, and that is, we know that Democrats, rank and file Democrats, not all of you support this. We know this. We're talking about simple, a very simple process of securing the border, something that we have talked about as a nation for decades. Why are we pretending this is something different?
The Democrats, as recently as a few years ago, were in complete agreement with President Trump
right,
on it.
Right.
And the Republican Party, still for low taxes. The Republican Party on trade, if you see the result that we got out of out of the NAFTA 2, whatever, mm-hmm. basically the same thing as the original NAFTA. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much change. There was a lot of rhetoric from the president, but much didn't change. We'll see what happens to the steel tariffs. China, he could have some inroads on. If mm-hmm. he can open markets to China, that would actually be a good thing. So the president's rhetoric on trade to the reality of what we might eventually get might be completely different than what the president promised his supporters, but his supporters seem to be behind whatever he does on it. And so if it goes in line with more free trade, I'm happy with that too. But as to the debt, neither party cares, but the Republicans might now, as they're in the minority of the House.
A show for everyone, including those living in a delusional world. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, thanks so much for being here this morning. So, yeah, we're just going to about what the Democrats in 2019 are for, plus the Republicans here in 2019. I want to give you just one idea. This is two things that happened to me when I was on vacation. As to, you know, as talk show hosts, what we hear from the other side, from people that disagree with us, Democrats mostly, and liberals mostly. Mm-hmm. At times it isn't, but mostly it is. Sometimes there are populists that are more liberal in the Republican Party that disagree with our conservative viewpoints, but that's fine. But the vast majority are Democrats and liberals. Two things. This is what we face, and it's if 2018 brought anything clear, if I look at 2018 and you ask me what's the negative, it's the fact that people don't debate anymore. Issues don't matter to people. They just don't matter. The issues don't matter. Personalities matter. Issues don't.
Mm-hmm.
More than ever before. Now, I believe if you're listening to this show, you care about the issues. And many conservatives care about the issues, but it's growing even in the Republican Party, where the issue really doesn't matter. It's do you support Trump?
Mm-hmm.
To some, that's not all, though. But I think the growing, where it is just dominant in the vast majority of the party, is the Democrats,
right,
as to where they stand. Let me give you two points. One, I was at this gathering and met a bunch of people when I was in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, a couple of them knew who I was from a talk show host when I was a talk show host in Buffalo. They remember when I worked for the local station there. And it was funny because one of the first questions, so we remember you back then, and you're more right, right? Yeah, I'm definitely more right. Good, the majority of it. And so I started talking then to this one woman, probably, I'm going to guess, so I better be nice here. You never know who's listening. I'm going to guess in her young 40s. She's mm-hmm. probably about 50, mm-hmm. maybe 55. And she said, oh, so you're on the right. I said, I'm a conservative / libertarian. She said, so what do you think about our Nazi president and his party? I said, okay. And I burst out laughing. And I think it disarmed her a little bit when I burst out laughing and didn't get angry at her. And I said, what do you mean Nazi? Well, the president is Nazi's way. I said, well, tell me, what's one Nazi way?
Hmm.
Nazis murdered people. Has he murdered anybody? What is one thing that you would call him a Nazi? I said, I've also heard fascist. What would be one? And finally, she admitted after a couple of minutes of discussion, well, okay, I know he really isn't. But then why are you using that terminology?
Right.
Now, I said it in a nice way, and it was Christmas Eve, and so I didn't want to... But I just said, you know, why are you using that? I mean, if it's not correct, why would you use it if to anybody you hurt your cause? Because if you dislike him for the substance of the issues, they're going to discount you immediately. You have no chance of converting anybody to your point of view if you use a phrase or a word that is inaccurate to describe what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one case. The other case was an email that I received where a guy wrote and said, I listen to you guys. I wake up and I listen to you guys just to laugh at you,
mm-hmm.
and wait till Trump, you know, whatever gets his and all this. And I said, well, what do you disagree with this? You know, just wondering, because you wrote to us, but of course you lack specifics. So if you lack specifics, as we always say on the show, you've got nothing. So do you have something? Is there something that you disagree with us where you believe that we're wrong? And so he wrote back again. And the same type of rhetoric. Well, because you guys are wrong. Well, where? And then I wrote from a third time, and I give people three strikes.
Mm-hmm.
This was a third strike. And I said, look, you're doing the same thing again. If you truly don't wish to have a discussion, do you even know what you disagree with us on? Do you even know? What do you disagree with what we have said? I think that that's a goodwill gesture to reach out and say, if you disagree with us and you've actually written us an email, and then I wrote you back and you wrote me back again, do you truly wish to have a discussion, or are you just angry? What is it? He sends me an article from Politico that criticizes Trump. And I went, well, then you don't. Whatever is said in that article, I didn't say and you didn't say. And so you don't want to have a discussion as to what we have said and whether it's right or wrong. I'm not sure, really what, you're doing. And I said, but it's the third strike, so we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I've given you three opportunities to just clear. And that's what we're dealing with. People don't even know what they're angry about. People are using words on the other side that if you, and I thought about this, the woman that said, wow, well, you and Trump and the Nazis and all this, and really, no? Do you really believe that? Seriously. And found out she really didn't believe it. Then why are you using that? And so then when you see the vape guy, the vape store guy,
mm-hmm.
This guy goes in case you don't know the story, he walks in, Trump supporter with, a Make America Great hat again and a Trump shirt or vice versa, whatever. But when he walked in, you knew he voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And this clerk at this vape shop, and he was getting something, vape and smoke shop, for his wife. And this guy just went crazy. I mean, this guy went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He went absolutely insane to the point of when I first saw it, I didn't believe it. I said, this is a setup. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Found out later on it's real. And I started thinking that when you tell somebody over and over again and they don't research what actually is going on, when you tell them over and over again that someone is a Nazi, well, most people know what Nazis did. And so when you have, and you could tell this guy, it was like a real Nazi walked into a store.
Mm-hmm.
Or not his store, where he clerked. And by the way, the store, the chain, whatever, fired him and said it's completely inappropriate and apologized to the guy who came in. And the guy who came in actually had a great sense of humor. Because they were going through like 10 minutes of this guy going crazy, and he turns the phone on himself and he's like laughing. He goes, can you believe this guy? And he's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the other side has become. They've become completely not rational. They don't even at times even know what they're angry about. They can't even articulate what they're angry about. How do you deal with that?
Well, politically, how do you make even anything of that? We've said, I've been saying for a few years now, what are you going to do? What are you going to promote? You're a candidate on the stage in 2020. Elizabeth Warren, we know what she's been promoting. But then when you're actually up there and a group of people think that you have a chance at becoming the president, what are you going to promote? You can't just choose one cause. And if you do, you're going to offend all the other causes. People don't know what they're angry about, and each of them have something different that they're angry about that they really don't know fully.
Yeah.
So how do you satisfy a political promise?
Well, you saw the two women's marches, right? The one where too many white women, they had to cancel one of them because there's too many white women in the feminist march. And the other one, was it Baton Rouge, was it? Where they realized that the leadership is too anti-Semitic.
Mm.
It's like, wow. And my other point was, well, when are you finally going to be upset as a feminist group when men are dominant in your group because of transgenders? That's got to be next. But even you see the split happening there. Because the Democrat Party and liberals aren't what liberals used to be at all.
Well, what they think now, they have to believe, and they need you to believe that if you have a cause that doesn't include someone else's cause, it's just your cause, that you're filled with hate because you're not including everybody in their cause. Now, they're not including you either, but that doesn't matter. They said hate first. We got angry first, and we're the loudest. And that's where the split happens. It doesn't satisfy our needs, so we're against you. And it doesn't matter where you are. I don't know how you make that work politically. I mean, you can make it work maybe in a district. I mean, you know, clearly they're getting away with the Democrats did in November. But how long? And on a larger scale, how do you get away with that? What do you do when you get outside those communities and, you know, they make a big deal about, well, turning Texas blue or turning this blue or turning. Yeah, there are parts of Texas that have been going blue for a while in the metro areas. But how do you make that work on a larger level? You can make that work in a district, even in Texas. Ask Pete Sessions. But how do you make that work on a large scale to where you win major elections? I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm not saying somehow they won't pull it together. But what exactly will it look like? Because what is it that the rank and file actually want? They don't actually mean Nazi. They just say that because it's working for them now, and it really gets them out of the discussion altogether. If they believe they just scream Nazi and you say no, that you're in support of Nazis and it shuts down the argument, but it doesn't.
Well, and also, as you have explained before, when you use the term Nazi, then it shows we care.
Mm-hmm.
Because we use the most ruthless rhetoric,
right.
We care more than you.
Because the debate stage during the primary will be, for the Democrats, they are going to have to, in part, each of them compete to show how much they hate Trump more than anyone else on that stage. That's going to be part of the competition.
But as I found out, when I look at 2018, I realized 2018 was a year that maxed out the fact that nobody really wishes to have a debate. Mm-hmm. And you have a significant number of people that don't even know why they're angry or what they're angry about, except I believe it comes down to personality. That there's certain personalities that they like,
mm-hmm.
and certain personalities that they don't like. Or if you have a particular label and even have a person, because a label is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrat label and the liberal label is important. Even if you don't stand for what a liberal or a Democrat stood for 5 years ago or 10 years ago, if it's a completely different concept, it doesn't matter as long as you have that label.
Right.
And you are enraged more.
Right.
Than the next person. And so I just thought it was interesting to bring up those two examples that, and we find it all the time. Either you get the vape shop people that we get, they're just completely incoherent and you have no idea why they hate you so much, or the people that tell you and wish to have a discussion of why they don't like you and why you're wrong, but can't even explain once they get into the discussion with it. And then the people that will use the harsh rhetoric, and when you call them on it, will say, well, that's not what I really mean. Well, then what do you really mean? And they don't really know what they mean. They're just angry about something.
Right. And so that's the question. What is it that you actually want?
When it came down to the woman, you know what it was?
Mm-hmm.
They own, apparently she owns a huge property, and she got hit on taxes in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
But even some of the Republicans, remember we said how that would hurt some of the congressional districts? Even some of the Republicans who I talked to, these are loyal conservatives, said Trump's so wrong on that because we're getting killed. Conservatives in New York that own property are getting killed on our taxes this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not helping them.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got down to it, that's what it was. I said, well, why don't you say taxes instead of Nazis?
Right.
That I would have understood.
Sure.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Jim in Springfield, Missouri. Jim, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. Welcome back, first of all. We missed you. It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
This wall, you guys are right on the money. I don't agree with everything you say, but on this wall, you're 100% right. He has to sell it. He's got to quit talking about it, quit saying, I'll take a little less, I'll take this. He's got to build a model scale of our border and our country and show, I'm going to put 300 miles here. Boom. I'm going to put another 300 miles here. This is where it'll be open. We're going to funnel the people here. Now, look at this is what happens if we don't have this. And then with the model, he's got to show all these cities in the state of California that are sanctuary and say, if we don't stop this, they come through here and this is where they go and they're lost. We're done.
Yeah,
If you don't put this deal together, he's not going to be able to put Korea together, and he's going to lose to China. If he lets these guys beat him on this wall, he might as well go down to Mar-a-Lago and enjoy his last 2 years.
Well, we've said
because if he don't do this, it's over.
You've got to sell it, and still television's a way to sell it. And he believes for so, and I don't believe he's going to do it. I believe He's stuck on Twitter, and that's where he's going to go. But if you weren't listening earlier, we just said if he truly was serious, he needed to be marketing this on television. He needed to hold press conferences all throughout the Christmas vacation, and he needed to speak to the nation on it and talk about it and accuse the Democrats of being for open borders and talking about Nancy Pelosi not caring about the government and talking about it every day in front of the media so there's nothing else to talk about except that.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. You know, one of the things that the president tweeted out again was the whole thing about missing emails. That the FBI deleted.
Right.
That were, deleted between Strzok and Page and all of that, and that the truth needs to come out. And I'm sitting there laughing at that one, then declassify it. You saw a poll over the weekend?
Yeah, came out, this hit the Hill over the weekend, and it was a poll done by the Hill and Harris X. So they did this poll, and it showed that the majority of people, 59% of registered voters contacted for the survey, said that they want Trump to declassify the documents. This in relation to, and we have to clarify here, because obviously on different sides of the aisle, you have different reasons for that, right? So for Democrats, they're going to want him to declassify it because they believe it's going to show that he's guilty. For Republicans and conservatives, it's going to show how we got here, and it would end all of this.
Well, it would still mean that a significant portion of Democrats, and this gets to our point before, disagrees with the people that represent them, because the people that represent them, the Democrats, have been doing everything that they possibly can to hide anything that the FBI, Department of Justice, or intelligence agencies might have done inappropriately. They are the ones who are constantly claiming. It's Adam Schiff that's out there as their representative, defending supposedly their interests by stating that nothing needs to be released. The FBI is fine. Nothing is going wrong everywhere. Everything is beautiful.
In fact, only 14% from this poll said that it should all be kept secret.
Yeah, because was it
27%. Aren't sure. But the question in the poll was phrased just like this, because I found the poll. Should the president declassify documents for public release pertaining to the probe of Russian interference in the 2016 election? So that is a that is one of those questions that requires you to do essentially the respondents to know what they're talking about.
Right.
Which we've always said on certain things, you know, the pollsters should start with, okay, can you tell us the three branches of government? Okay, fine. Now we can take a poll and have you be a part of it. I don't know what the motivation of any of these respondents would be, because they really didn't break that down, but it's very clear. On the left, they believe it will show that he's guilty. Those who believe he's guilty or somebody related to the campaign is guilty. And the other side of it, and by the way, you and I have said we have no idea what it will show, because we don't know what's in it. We have no idea. Now, we know there are some facts about this case that nobody is disputing, because they're documented. Mm-hmm. So we can point in a direction and say, we know that the previous administration and also the candidate for the left and the DNC hired a foreign national ultimately through their law firm and through Fusion GPS that got, now we can say, unverified and false information on the then candidate.
As Michael Isakoff said last month, that none of them have been proven, so he's right. Assumed they're mostly false.
Right. So you
Isakoff
look at that,
said that.
Yeah, so you look at that, at that situation, and there again, there's a set of facts that we have before us. But not still today. Here we are now in 2019.
2 years.
2 years.
It's our
now.
Anniversary.
Coming back from our Christmas break 2 years ago, where the narrative had changed. And now, 2 years later, they still haven't pointed to a crime in relation to anybody in the Trump campaign as it is directly related to the election itself. All of the indictments have come down for other things, nothing in relation to the election itself.
Right.
They haven't even identified the crime to say, okay, we know that this happened and this is illegal. We've got to prove who's responsible for it in relation to the election of 2016. They haven't said that. Mueller's been on the job for the better part of 2 years now, and nothing still.
As we have stated over and over again, and maybe this is what, you know, some of the one email, maybe that's what the guy was angry at, because we have stated this over and over again. The only collusion that we know of that has been identified and proven is with the Russians to change the outcome of the election is the DNC and the Hillary campaign. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right.
Now, the collusion itself is not illegal. Paying the foreign national and funneling campaign funds through him as they did is illegal, mm-hmm. and would be a campaign finance violation. But the only collusion with the Russians to change the outcome of the election, which is a narrative that you hear all the time, the only evidence that exists that that has happened in the 2016 campaign is from the Democrats. The exact opposite of what the allegation was 2 years ago today when we came back from Christmas vacation.
Right.
And Trump was not yet president, but was going to be inaugurated in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And that's the fact. Doesn't matter what your political slant is. Those are the facts.
Yep.
Still today, 2 years later, you can't even identify the crime or the specific collusion if it was not a crime.
Right.
The only collusion that we can identify with the Russians is from the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. And as we've said all the time, tell us where we're wrong. And nobody has ever been able to tell us where we are wrong. You can tell us where we're right, because mm-hmm. that's easy, because those facts are all known. In fact, nobody is disputing those facts that we just laid out.
Right.
No one.
And so if you look at that, 59% want the president to declassify it. Well, you've got the American people behind you.
Do it.
Do it.
I want to know what happened either way. I
can't change what happened in the past.
Right. We've been clear about this. We need to know what the FBI did. We live in a nation where the elected representatives, through the people, are the ones that have oversight.
Mm-hmm.
The bureaucracy does not get to run themselves.
Right.
They don't get to make decisions of what the people get to see and don't get to see. That falls on your elected representatives in the House, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your elected representatives who make the calls on it. The call is not made by a bureaucrat.
Right.
If you believe, as the Democrats do, that the bureaucrats get to make the call, then you are closer to the mindset of the F word, fascist, mm-hmm. than Trump will ever be.
Because you believe the government knows better than you and should have that kind of control over the people.
Yes. If you believe what Adam Schiff believes, that nothing should be released, when we know that every time we've been told the top secrets would be given out and people's lives would be at stake and sources and methods would be released, every time the Democrats said that, and even some Republicans who stated that, it was a lie.
Right.
It was a lie. It was not one thing that's been released that violated national security. Not one. They lied to you over and over and over again. And those that lie to you are in opposition to the president.
Mm-hmm.
All we want, we don't care whether you oppose the president or like the president. We want the truth. The elected representatives are the ones that get to tell us what the secrets are. If they believe it is necessary to do so, the bureaucrats don't get, the John Brennans don't get to judge. The attorney generals don't get to judge. The
no.
assistant attorney generals aren't the ones that make the judgments. The FBI director is not the one that makes that call. The assistant FBI director, the deputy director of counterintelligence doesn't get to tell you.
Nope.
A lawyer in the Department of Justice or the FBI doesn't get to tell you. They don't get to make the rules and regulations. They follow what the laws that Congress have passed. And they are under the oversight of Congress, and it is the President of the United States so that has the ultimate ability to declassify. The President should declassify.
And honestly, there's really no argument anymore against this declassification.
Well, he can't. I mean, it was two things frustrating about the President over the vacation. Number one, how Mexico's going to pay for the wall because of the new NAFTA. Two, mm-hmm. just stop it. Mm-hmm. It's dumb. Now, most people probably haven't figured out why it's dumb, because you have to actually go and say, okay, how would they actually be paying for it with the new NAFTA? How would they be saving money that then would be going to pay the wall, and how would the Mexicans be paying for it? Nobody's going to try to actually follow that and connect the dots. But it's a dumb statement to make because it's completely and totally untrue. Mr. President, stop making the dumb point.
It doesn't serve any purpose.
No, it serves no purpose at all. It doesn't help you get to your, number one, nobody is talking about Mexico paying for it anymore, not even your most loyal supporters. They're out there with GoFundMe, or what is it? The GoFundMe accounts. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The GoFundMe accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They're raising it on their own. It's not even an issue.
Right.
Don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Don't bring up something you've lost already.
Well, and you...
And the other one was where he's still talking about the fact that we need to get to the truth. We need to get these things, and we need to see these emails.
Mm-hmm.
You've got them. Maybe right. those emails that have been erased you don't have, but you've got all the evidence that the Republicans have been telling us will show the pattern of what the Democrats have done.
Right.
Release it.
Right.
Don't be complaining about it all the time when you have the ability to release it. Don't make it a mystery anymore. Doesn't need to be a mystery.
Nope. And where's the IG's office? Where's their report?
Yep. Why is that taking so long?
Right.
What's that all about?
It's been months now. Shouldn't have taken so long.
It should have been done in a week.
Right. And these are the things that can be done right now. You talk about having the Democrats having control of the House. Great. But all along, the president has had that ability. And certainly in recent months, he's had that support more and more. Well, now we know he's got the support of, according to this poll, 59% of Americans. So he doesn't need to do anything else but release it. End it. End it now.
and show what was going on. And wherever it falls, it falls.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So what we know is, I believe it's tomorrow. Good. I'm at least I'm getting my days right here. Because when I saw earlier this week, the Democrats plan to have funding measures set to put into legislation by Thursday. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, that's a few days away. No, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Without wall money. In fact, they've lowered it from the 1.6 now to the 1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times, as I said, reported, and the president didn't seem to respond to it at all, that the president basically has agreed to 2.5 billion, not the 5 billion.
Right.
Which has already, as about a week ago, I think, sent Ann Coulter over the ledge. Mm. But I think she's, we had her on watch anyway. Who knows what the president will eventually agree to. You said it from day one. You said, what's his negotiating leverage?
He doesn't need to give up anything to the Democrats, because the word is that the Democrats will start by introducing a bill that will fund a number of other things. It won't completely open up the government, but it will fund part of that 14-15% right now that in that partial shutdown. It will open up some of that. Get the military paid or do this and do that, and then, you know, dare the president, but it won't be anything more than that 1.3 if they go, let's say they went the full measure to get a spending bill done, they're not going to, it doesn't matter. They're not going to offer up anything more than 1.3 because they don't have to.
Or they'll piecemeal to the point of, we need to pay the military, so here's one funding mechanism,
right.
Send it to the Senate. We dare you not to pass this.
Right.
And then they pass it, then it gets sent to the president, he's mm-hmm. not going to sign it, so they'll piecemeal them to the point of, we'll get to border security.
Right. And the government essentially opens up again slowly. You know, and we'll see if they actually get that done. You know, if the president is on board for that. There's only so many pay periods and so many paychecks that the military is going to miss. Now, they will get paid retroactively, but they're not going to get paid during the shutdown time. So they've missed one just the other day. You're going to have them miss another pay period on the 15th, keeping in mind that it is paycheck to paycheck with all military families.
Well, they've missed one already, right? Like,
yes, that's what I said.
Right.
Yeah, the other day they've missed one. So you're going to have them miss another one on the 15th. You know, they've got bills to pay, and most military families are not, you know, they're paycheck to paycheck. So that's the question, because that will be the focus by the left. And what are you going to concede to? What are the Democrats going to ask for? They're not going to ask for anything. They don't have to. They're going to sit on their hands just like they said. And just like we said, because there is nothing that they're asking for. They haven't been. You know, they.
Well, I saw Lindsey Graham brought up the whole DACA thing, and we're like, well, that's
old
news.
Well, but again, that's all of those little, pretend or theoretical discussions are just that, and they're all coming from the right. Nancy and Chuck aren't talking that way. So what are they asking for? When they're in front of a camera demanding something, then we can have a discussion. Now you've got a negotiation. But if they're not asking for anything, and they're sitting on their hands, eventually you're going to have to reopen the government. And they'll do it. And if they do it, you know, piece by piece, they'll still get there. Is that a win? Is that a political win for the president? Because right now, this is him going back and forth and then ultimately saying, fine, we'll have the shutdown. Well, that was something where we said, you're going to have to salvage this. How do you salvage it? And he salvaged it by saying, politically, at least for the time being, we'll have the shutdown. Next question. Then what? What do you have to give up to the left? Where is the quid pro quo here? There's not. They're not even at the table. They're not asking for anything. And if that changes, then the president might get the win if he gets what he's asking for. Then again, let's say he got 2.5. Is that a political win? The base that jumped off board that was furious for, what, 3 or 4 days? Are they going to?
I will say this. It's not a win for Ann Coulter.
No, it's not.
So then it's not a win for that base.
There's your point. Right. For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
An Arctic cold front has caused temperatures to plummet across parts of the Central Plains, dropping wind chills to hazardous levels from Montana through Nebraska. Today, we'll see yet another round of significant snowfall for parts of Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico, as much as 6 to 12 inches in the mountains. Rain likely tonight in the western Gulf states, along with scattered thunderstorms. There will be some snow, sleet, or freezing rain from the southern plains to the Ozarks. Snow, sleet, or freezing rain may develop in northern and central parts of Texas and Oklahoma. By tonight, the area of snow or ice may stretch from northwest Texas and the Texas Panhandle into parts of Oklahoma, northwest Arkansas, and southwest Missouri. We could see hazardous travel conditions, including Interstate 35 from far northern Texas through Oklahoma and Interstate 44 from Oklahoma to southwest Missouri. And there's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Thanks so much, Christopher. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Listen to Red Eye Radio on your Amazon Echo every day, anytime. Say, Alexa, enable the Red Eye Radio skill. Then, anytime you want to listen, say, Alexa, open Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Just to clarify something, maybe some people didn't hear the entire segment and just heard the last portion of it. We understand that the Democrats alone don't have the House and the Senate. The Democrats alone can't end the shutdown. We understand that fully.
Yeah.
The point we made, I thought we made it clearly. Apparently we didn't, so we'll say it again. Point we made clearly is the Democrats in the House are going to, since they run the House as of tomorrow, or as of what? Yeah, so tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And they will introduce bills piecemeal to start funding portions of the government. We gave an example. Fund the military, pay the military. That'll be a separate continuing resolution. They send that to the Republican Senate and dare them not to pass that.
Exactly, is how we phrase it.
Right, and then that will go straight to the president as a separate continuing resolution, not containing wall money, and dare the president to do that. And then across the board as it continues, that will be their plan to keep piecemealing parts of the budget till eventually you just get to a very, very small portion. And they'll say, go ahead, Mr. President, you know, continue with it. We've got basically everything funded through September, except a little portion here of Homeland Security that we could care less about. Homeland Security and border construction, or, you know, border enforcement to begin with. We're for open borders.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we care?
Yeah.
Now, how successful they'll be at it, we don't know. We just told you that's what we believe the strategy will be.
Right. And the point of the conversation is what were they asking for? What were the Democrats asking for? Nothing. They're not demanding anything.
Right. There wasn't a negotiating point that they had. There wasn't, if you give us this, we'll give you that.
Right. Now, they may turn it into that. I don't think so, but
in this budget battle, there was, you know, 9 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
But there isn't now. That's the whole point.
And it may turn into that. But the question is then politically, what works for them as a party? So if they only have the House, What do they have to concede to in order to get something back that would be less politically damaging, or I guess a greater political advantage than it would be of a political damaging point? In other words, if they got DACA right now, would that be a win even if they gave up $2.5 billion for the wall? Would one win over the other and be a clear advantage and for them to the point that they would concede to something like that? I don't think so. I don't think they're thinking in terms of that right now, because I really don't think they really care about the Dreamers. I think they understand that the president's really not actively enforcing the whole DACA Dreamer thing, and he's probably not strong on it. So they know on that they don't really have to move. So what else would it be? Well, you're not going to go for a comprehensive immigration reform package. That's not going to happen now. You make that happen in a bigger year when they're trying to get the Senate and the White House. So that becomes, because if they were to give all of that up, let's say by the time we kumbaya'd this whole thing to January 31st and all of a sudden it's done and everybody agreed or at least got a good portion of what they wanted, what would the Democrats have on the president? Well, how much of that would be damaging to them? Let's say they got, you know, again, $2.5 billion or $5 billion for the wall or anything in that area. We're not even talking about $25 billion.
Well, as you know, we had said this way before the whole negotiations, that the problem is here is that, you look at what the Democrats have used. They haven't used the fact of sanctuary cities and open borders to their advantage. They've simply used the wall. It has been a wall versus no wall discussion.
Right.
When we believe, even if they will give money for border security and homeland security, we believe in that, and it's hard to argue with this, when you're for sanctuary cities, if you say, once you cross the border, you're here no matter what, and we're not going to cooperate with the federal government, you're for open borders.
Right.
Prove to me that you're not.
Right.
You can't. You can't sit there and say you're for border security, yet if anybody gets over, they can stay. Even if they're criminal, they can stay, and we won't cooperate with the authorities.
Right.
Now, in order to get that, you may agree to border security, but the whole thing is, you know, they can get across. And the fact is, you don't want effective border security because you believe in sanctuary cities. Argue that point, Republicans and the president, which, of course, they do not argue it in the way that we argue it, which they should all the time. It should be 24/7. And as we said earlier, it shouldn't just be on Twitter. The president should have, I believe, every single day that he wasn't on a plane going to see the troops, that he should have held a press conference every single day on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have held press conferences and had, you know, the Border Patrol with him about, you know, what sections needed to be shored up, that you give you teach Americans about the border. But right. It shouldn't have just happened over this vacation. This is something that should have happened all along. You need to communicate outside of Twitter. And well, it needs to be a consistent message over and over and over again.
Well, it's something that the selling point has to be very strong and clear. And I don't know of any items other than taxes that are so simple to comprehend.
Here's one of the problems. And we said, you know, the president should have a consistent message, but he hasn't even on border security with the Democrats. How can you say now? How can he come out and strongly say they're for open borders and they're not for border security? Where they've got him on tape just 2 weeks ago stating, oh, we're all for border security. Yes, Mr. President, we all are. Don't say that.
Well, don't give them the out. Don't ever give them the out.
Don't give. And what do you?
The whole idea is to corner them and force them to say that right. They're for open borders. Because I would have said in that setting, Nancy, you're from, in fact, you represent part of a sanctuary state. How is that not open border policy? It is.
Which is
why they didn't want to talk about it in front of cameras, because they also know that the American people don't agree with them. By and large, the majority of American people disagree with open borders, but they don't.
And that's why that night, and some people got upset at us, so be it, but that's why we were furious at the president when he gave Nancy and Chuck the out. Oh, we're all for border security. No, they're not! Stop it!
Well, and
don't give them the out!
And you're not going to win. You're not going to get anything if you don't get this, because forget about losing. Nobody even cares about the Democrats and where their position or what the debate is in the media. It's now at the door of your base. He corrected a misstep in December. You've got to go further, and you've got to show that you're going to fight for the border wall. This is the one thing. They got taxes done. They've got two seated on the bench. You're going to have to, without delay and without hesitation, you're going to have to fight for this wall. And whether you get it even or not isn't going to be the point. It's going to be whether or not your base believes you're fighting for it.
Let us go to Warren in Scottsdale, Arizona. Warren, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? The reason I called, you actually took the words out of my mouth. I actually was going to talk about the Border Patrol and what they should do, since President Trump's supposed to be meeting with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. He should have the top 5 to 10 leadership people at the Border Patrol in uniform, on camera, with them, so that every time Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer decide to say why it's not needed, the Border Patrol, I think, knows a little bit better and will be able to contradict them in front of millions of people on camera. That's number one. And the second thing I was calling about was your issue with the investigation. You know, Jeff Sessions picked this Huber guy that you said is not doing anything. And the fact is, Huber is a Democrat. And I'm still trying to figure out for the life of me why Sessions would pick a Democrat to go investigate this about the whole thing with Uranium One. And the same people that were involved in Uranium One are the same people that are involved in this whole Trump-Russia investigation. It's Comey, Rosenstein, Mueller, and Weissman. They were all involved in Uranium One. So it's all just nothing but a big smokescreen to block them from being found out. And they're just, that's why they have people like Blumenthal. Every time something comes up, he starts trying to say that Donald Trump is trying to deflect away from the Mueller investigation. But those are the
well. Remember, it was Trump who renominated Huber. He was he offered his resignation, and Trump renominated him. So you know, you look
true.
At it. There's a lot of things that Trump is in control of, and things that he has done that people get upset about. But look, he has information right now that can start this whole ball rolling. He has the declassified information that he has not released, has claimed the American public might not be able to handle it, which was bogus to begin with. We disagreed with him when he said that, but he would use it if they came after him, mm-hmm. which we thought was completely and totally inappropriate. Release it so the American people know what happened. And if it gets the ball rolling to go further, it gets the ball rolling to go further.
Well, because if he's saying he'll use it to defend himself, then clearly he knows it won't hurt him. You're not going to use it to defend yourself if it's going to be damaging. So if you're saying that is the case, then that tells us there's nothing damaging to you. Release it now. Don't wait. And don't wait for Mueller to have the sideshow and the main spotlight by issuing some kind of bogus report that points in a certain direction and creates doubt and cloud over your head forever, but never actually does anything, because that's what actually a lot of people on the left are expecting to happen. And politically, that can be just as damaging, because the liberal media is going to carry the water for the Mueller investigative team.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, so to get to the point of what you brought up, you know, about if there was a deal, done by the end of January, what would be in the deal? Let me bring this up. All right, so you're thinking about possible compromises. New York Times, and the president didn't argue with it, said that the president had already agreed, this was about a week ago, to $2.5 billion. Right. Well, what if the $2.5 billion is basically the total, which is $1.3 for border security and only $1.2 for the wall? Would the president go for that, and would the Democrats go for that? But what would the Democrats ask in, for giving that to the president, even $1.2 billion for the wall, what would they ask in return? Would the Democrats actually ask to solve DACA completely and make them citizens and take that off the table for 2020 when they believe they can use that as a hammer against the president? What would they actually, why would the Democrats wish to make a deal with the president, even if it was only something for $1.2 billion, yeah, which would get you a couple of maybe 100 miles of a wall?
Look, they're not, because beyond this, they're not going to get anything done that they want with the president. It's not going to happen because they only have the House. So why not save everything up? You don't have, if you're taking those things off the table now, even the one thing of DACA, you're not going to have anything in 2020. You want the big package to be basically the whole thing, because in terms of issues, we asked earlier, what do the Democrats want? What do the rank and file want? Politically, what could the Democratic Party get away with in terms of offering something up?
Medicare,
comprehensive immigration
Medicare
reform.
For all. Medicare for all for $1.2 billion for the wall.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if we're sticking to immigration, yes, then you're going to save that for the big play in 2020.
Right.
And you don't even have to promise anything, because even if they don't get it done, it doesn't matter. If they say, what we'll do is we'll work for this and we'll help these people and we'll help these people, it's not going to, because we've had the discussion over the years. Comprehensive immigration reform. Will agree to secure the border, they won't, in order to ultimately, in exchange for getting people long-term legal status or even citizenship. Well, you can generalize all day on something like that and get away with it during the political season. The details, you know, that's where the devil lives. You're going to have to get down to brass tacks. But the debates, none of the debate season will revolve around that. All you have to do is make him look bad and say, we want to help people. That's all they're going to do on immigration. Do they really care about that?
No.
No, they don't.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.